Father, we thank you again tonight for this book. Lord, thank you for the prayer session. My office a few minutes ago in the presence of God, so real. Lord, sometimes we feel like we step right over the boundaries and end up in heaven. And I believe it's going to be like that one of these days before long. Just step out of this world into that world and be in the presence of the one we love so much now. And Lord, we've not arrived. There's so many things I know that in your purity and your infinity, dear Lord, that when you look at a finite being and the problems that are there, there's much that still needs to be done in every one of our lives, but you still love us. Thank you for the mind you've given to us, Lord, that we could exercise in the things of God. And I pray you'd help me with the message tonight, that our hearts will be blessed, that people be glad they came to the house of God because they've heard something that would help them in their Christian life. Dear Lord, please meet with us tonight. Give us what we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You know, I find it a blessing to study the image of God, which is man, compared to the rest of the creation that God created when he created the things that we see, hear, observe, and so forth. And he gave man something that he has not given the rest of his creation. And that's a mind. He gives us the right to exercise the mind in the image of God. Animals move by instinct. We have a right to choose. We have a right to use our mind. And we will use it just because we're born. We may input to it things that are not necessarily, but whatever you put into your mind will be used. And God has a lot to say about that, by us being in his image. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 3, Paul said to the church at Corinth, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." He said, I fear, in essence from this is said, I fear that your minds will be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Jesus Christ. Have you ever been in an age where that can happen in our age of intellectualism and knowledge? If you also look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, turn back over a few pages, in verse 16, Paul said to the church at Corinth in his first letter, "For who have known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we," in referring to the born-again child of God, "we have the mind of Christ." Now, it doesn't mean that we're pure as Christ is, the new creation would be, but we have the capability of understanding the things of God. We have the mind of Christ. That mind of Christ must have in the new creation for the Holy Spirit to teach us those things that are principles of his word. If you look with me in Philippians chapter 2, again, and about verse 5, you find that God's word says this, as Paul writes to the church at Philippi, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now, it's interesting enough, Paul said, "I fear that your mind will be corrupt," to the church at Corinth. And I can understand why you say that, because church at Corinth were probably the worst church in the New Testament as far as what they were doing. But he also says that we have the mind of Christ, and he was speaking to the church at Corinth when he said that. But when you look in Philippians, he said, "Let this mind be in you." It tells me something. I have the capability to have the mind of Christ as a born-again child of God. But that doesn't come automatically what I can know just because I've got it. I'll tell you this. God has given us the ability to learn. Everyone in here, unless we have a mental handicap some kind or another, and we all may have some of that, but we know what we're talking about, we can learn. But if you come into this world and don't take advantage of the learning process, then your mind will not do what it's capable of doing. You know, that's the reason our government understands that you've got to put a premium on education, because they start when they're young and make it guaranteed education. Or even parents can be fined for that if they do not educate their children. So we understand that just having the mind of Christ does not mean that we would have the activation of this mind being in us like it should, because it takes some growth. For the mind of Christ that we have to be used, we must understand what that mind is capable of knowing and doing. And this book tells us exactly that. And then we see in Romans chapter 12, if you'll turn there with me, these verses, or this verse in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, where the Bible says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may know, prove, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." I want to speak to us tonight a little bit about the mind. This fascinates me. I've been doing a lot of studying this in the last few weeks and period of time. Another subject that fascinates me is heaven. Heaven. It seems like, I don't know, in my older life I have concentration more on it than others, and I want to find all I can. And I'm looking at articles and things now to branch beyond what I already know about heaven, so I can really see this wonderful place that God is preparing for His people today. Because that's my home. If I was going to take a trip to the West Coast somewhere or another particular place, I'd get all the information I could find out about it before I get there. Wouldn't you? If you don't, you won't have the time you could have if you'd have looked and checked it out before you got there. Well, heaven's my home. And I'll tell you this, if I was going to move somewhere else in this nation to live, I won't find much about the circumstance I could where I was going to live at. Well, I'm headed to heaven. And God has given us information about that. That's a different message another time as we get into that. So I want to talk a little bit about the mind. I mean, Paul said, "I fear that your minds will be corrupt." And the church at Corinth certainly headed in that direction. He set forth that he asked who had known the mind of the Lord, that he may know it or instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you. And also that you be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed to another world, and transformed into by the renewing of your mind. And that's interesting. This is setting forth to know. The mind we're talking about to know. This is denotes the faculty of knowing. It's the seat of understanding. It's reasoning. It's thinking. It's purpose, counsel. These are the things that comes about when we use our physical mind in this life. And the same thing applies when it comes to the spiritual mind that God awakens at the new birth when we get saved. We are learning. You know, you can teach animals to do some things, but they don't do it because of they have learned something. They do it by instinct. I don't care how hard they try. They can't get a dog say "I love you" and really mean it. He don't know what he said. It sounds like he does, don't it? He knows if he said he'd get a piece of bread or something, or a treat somehow or another. And a dog probably will love us in their instinct as much so as any other animal would have. But he has no reason about what love is. But man does. I think about the fellow who had a parrot. As a captain, he was on a cruise ship, and the story goes that when they'd have their plays or whatever they had, the entertainment, they'd bring the parrot out and set him on a pedestal, and people were just amused by the parrot because he could talk a lot of different things and say a lot of different words and so forth. And the story goes they had a magician on the ship, and down for about 10 or 12 weeks there, the magician had a demonstration every week or every two or three nights a week on these cruise ship, and the parrot watched him and got to noticing what he was doing. So every time he tried to do a trick, the parrot would tell the audience what he did. He didn't really do that. He hid it in his hat. He didn't really do that. He's fooling you. He put that in his hand. He explained everything that's possible, and the magician told the captain, said, "If you don't get rid of that parrot out from out there and destroying what I'm doing," he said, "I'm going to quit this cruise ship." He said, "Well, just do it one more night, and I'll see what I can do." So he went back out there again, and the parrot started up again. "No, he didn't really do that. He tricked you. He deceived. Let me tell you what." And told all this. By that time, a gas leak took place. An explosion hit that ship, and it just blew into splinters in the back of the place where the magician and the parrot was at. And the ship sunk. I mean, just sunk. They rescued him. About 3 days later, the magician came floating by. On a plank, and the parrot came floating by on a plank. And the parrot came up to where the magician and looked at him, and just looked at him, about 15 minutes, stared at him. He said, "What'd you do with our ship?" Well, God gives us a mind. And it's not like animals, I'll tell you that for sure. We must recognize that our mind is what they call strategic. We have to understand. The word strategic means a science of planning or directing. In other words, we have a strategy. Everyone in here has a strategy. Your life is built around that. What you work at, the things you do, plan out, some type of direction that has been in your life. The mind is looked like as a battleground. The only problem is the unsaved has only one track mind. Now, they make a lot of decisions, and they have made a moral condition in a society, if they have any morals at all, where even laws are made by men at times for govern ourselves, that in turn they might make some decisions for a community. But when it comes to the natural mind alone, without God, it can only lead in directions that has to do with the desires of the flesh. It always will satisfy the desires of the flesh. And if society will let it, it'll go the maximum it can go to satisfy that desire, even to the depth of sin. Because it has no alternative to do anything else except what the flesh desires to do. And if it feels good, man will do it in his sin. That's all there is to it. And so when I approach this, I understand that there's a battleground going on, but the battleground takes place in our mind, but the unsaved does not have the battleground that you and I have, who is a child of God. Now, as I approach this mind, I understand the five senses of the flesh helps us take in information that our minds can process. Every one of my five, in the natural realm, the five senses help me take in stuff that my mind processes. Everything I see, my mind has to process it. Everything I feel, my mind has to process it. Everything that I smell, my mind has to process it. Everything that I hear, my mind has to process it. Everything that I taste, my mind has to process. Everything that comes into us in this life from the day we're born comes through the five senses, and the era where the mind must process it. It gets to a place that he has to learn that if I see it, will this hurt me or not hurt me? And I'm talking about without the spiritual mind now. I'm talking about just being born of the flesh. There are certain things that will harm us and certain things that will not harm us. When I touch, what I feel, what I hear, certain sounds in loud places, these things we learn by experiences as far as life is concerned. And then, of course, when we talk about these five senses processing in our mind, then certainly the Bible talks about us. There's three gates that these things work through, and we'll look at that in a few minutes, which is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So the danger as a Christian, though, is that false teachings get into our minds and diverts us from the simple obedience to God. The unsaved don't have that opposite sense of understanding spiritual things. But you and I who have been born into the family of God, God has moved in that new creation. He has given us His Spirit. And He talks about us being spiritual-minded because we have been spiritual awakened. We have been born into the family of God. And so now, as a Christian, we have a danger because if we let the flesh continue going on and not feed the new creation, then we would do exactly what we would have done before we got the new creation. You see, the flesh has to be, the flesh can just grow by existing the downward path. But the new creation in Christ Jesus will not grow until it is taught by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. It has to grow to get the counterbalance of that direction where the flesh is going. There's a battle in the child of God's mind over everything you and I face. It may be noticeable or it may not be noticeable. But the Spirit of God and the flesh, which is has to do with the natural mind of the individual, and the spiritual mind are at battle all the time in the decisions we make in this life. That's the image of God. Not only are we in His image that fail, but He's made arrangements for us to be brought back to a level that we can really have a relationship with God Almighty. So this danger has increased more so in the last 1,000 years and 100 years, and even now, since Paul's day, it's more in the last 40 years, probably, to 50 years than ever before. I mean, simply this is due to the psychic forces that are at work today to destroy you and I as the image of God.
That's all Satan cares about. He don't care one thing about us except to destroy us as the image of God. Before the universe, including angels that in turn may not understand our relationship with Him. Satan is actively at work trying to break down the mental powers of God's children. If you don't believe it, look around you. Everything that could be given to us that could be entertainment and helpful is turned into be abused. Where things on television could and radio medias could be used to get the gospel quicker to the lone world. And there are arrows trying to do that. But every time you have something that can reach the world, Satan capitalizes on it. And the ungodly mess overrides anything else. We think about television. I remember when that came on the scene. I remember, you heard me tell my granddaddy barefoot, I'd tell him about when I was a boy, I heard about you could be in one place and see something somewhere else. And he said, what do you mean? He said, I said, you can be here in our era, you know, Benson and Blackman's Crossroads, and you can see someone in New York City. He said, son, don't you listen to that. That'll warp your mind. They can't do nothing like that. And before he died, he had one. He had one. And the same thing when you talk about this life, you see. I mean, literally, he's trying to break down the mental concepts, and what he does, he capitalizes on. Listen, computers is one of the fastest blessed things that man could have today to accumulate knowledge. We'd have never went to the moon. By the way, we did go to the moon. We'd have never went to the moon if we hadn't had computers. Man can't think fast enough to do what he's got to do. Our mind, though it's in the image of God, can't do what a computer can do. We'd have never got to know. And we'd certainly never be going beyond that in errors if it were not for computers. But on the other hand, where computers can be used for the progress of man, it has been used by Satan that when you get into the filth that's on that and the things that's happened to individuals because of that in the private of the home, where years ago they had to leave home to get it, now they come right at home and see all that. It is damaging the minds of boys and girls and men and women in this world. Billions and billions of dollars on pornography and things like that. Now pipe right into the home. So I'm saying Satan is active. We're trying to break down the mental powers of God's children. And so when it comes to the world, he hinders the gospel reaching people. And when it comes to God's children, then he hinders them in living that they could live close to the world rather than being where God could use them. We see strained conflicts. This attack brings strained conflicts in our life. It brings strained conflicts in marriages. It brings counterfeit guidance, counterfeit visions, counterfeit plans. All of this comes from Satan. Every person in this world is either carnal or spiritual. And we who are saved can be either one. The unsaved can only be carnal. But you and I who are saved can be spiritual. We can grow in the spirit, but it won't happen automatically as far as life is concerned. The Christian can have a mixture of these two together. As a matter of fact, in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17, Paul put it this way, for the flesh lusts after the spirit after the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. Verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh, that's put it to death, with the affection, or that's the goal they should have, and the lust. If we walk in the spirit, if we live in the spirit, let us also walk in the spirit. So again, the Christian can have a mixture of these two. The predominant one will determine the state we're in. This is something we mess out on. The predominant of you and I, whether we be flesh, walking by the flesh, or walking in the spirit, will be the one that controls us. And there's a system that works through, and we'll see that. Again, the unsaved has only the carnal mind. Satan gets to our minds through the sensual perceptions of the flesh. And the carnal mind always listens to the desires of the flesh. The carnal mind will not listen to anything else but the desires of the flesh. Now, it takes a spiritual mind to get the focus off of that and realize when God said something is wrong and something is right, it is the spiritual mind that refocuses us from the flesh to that which in turn will be pleasing to God. Now, there's something going on in us, in our mind, when we have these two options of each other. And God is telling us about that in His Word. The carnal mind always listens to the desires of the flesh. Now hear me. The spiritual mind is concerned about how the human spirit relates to God. The carnal mind only is concerned how the flesh relates to life. But the spiritual mind will always be fed in instructions of how we can relate to God. Now, when you have God on one side and the flesh on the other, which Satan has activated as much as he can, you've got a battleground going on right here. Say, not me, I'm in charge. You just fail. You just fail. There's no way that you and I can be in charge 100% completely of our own efforts without God's help. And he understood that. That's the reason he brought this wonderful plan of salvation we see working from Adam's fall, even though it did take him 4,000 years for Christ to come, and now 2,000 years since Christ has come. His plan is working out. When he finishes this thing, it's going to be one of the most amazing, wonderful things you've ever seen. In fact, it's already that way, but we can't comprehend it yet. It's so great, it would blow our mind physically if we could see it with the physical mind and eyes. God, who is a spirit, is working out in time, in lives, to bring us to a point that we can live with him forever. So when I look at these five senses, I realize that that is the way that the mind is getting information to process. Then I realize there's only three gates that the Bible gives me for this, and that's the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's how God looks at it at us, which these three things come through the five senses, which process is processed in the mind as that information comes in. Now, there's five things I want to give you about the mind quickly, and then we'll go home. Number one is this. Some Christian, now, you do what I did. You just think about these, and then you ponder them some, and then you begin to look into these five things. And you understand what I'm talking about. You probably sit right off the bat, some of us. But here's the thing. There's some. We're not talking about unsaved people now. We're talking about Christians. Some Christians have a regenerated spirit, but they are not a spirit-controlled mind. They've been birthed into the family of God, but the Spirit is not controlling them completely yet. Why? Because you have to grow spiritually for the mind of God to do what it is to do in our hearts and lives. And that's the reason I'm glad to know that God says all things work together for you and I who love God and called according to his purpose. Why? Because God is saying you've got to grow spiritually so your mind will have a godly look at things before you ever bring the flesh in control. The flesh will never direct you to do what God wants it to do. And I tell folks on Thursday night, many times we'll come out to go on visitation. If you go on visitation, you'll have to drag the flesh there. It will not go by itself. If you let it go, it'll find 1,500 things you can do other than go on visitation and try to witness for the Lord. The flesh will keep you from doing that. You've got to have a higher power than that. And it is, you get there and you find out in it wonder how God works. I mean, we go for weeks. Last Wednesday night, Thursday night, we had one of the best visitations we've had in a good while. We got in a place and God able to use us. We did some things and God's word was blessed. And I saw some things take place. People were here this morning. And I thank the Lord for what was happening. But there have been weeks that seemed like we'd just given out information, not seen anything happen. But God in his own timetable will do that. He'll see to it that his word don't return into him void. So some Christians have regenerated spirit. Yes, they're born in the family of God, but they don't have a spirit-controlled mind. That is, they're not in focus in the things of God. Satan attacks the child of God's mind by hindering or limiting the person from having a victorious walk in Christ. God's word leads to a definite assurance and knowledge. When you stand this book, it will lead you to a definite assurance and knowledge, which will in turn lead you to an intelligent faith. Keep that in mind. God's word leads us when you read it and study it. God's word leads us when you hear it preached. And it will cause us to lead into a definite assurance. It'll give you assurance. It will give you knowledge. And that will lead you to an intelligent faith. That's the reason the Apostle Paul could say something like this. I know, because he learned it from God. He could say, I am persecuted. But yet, there's things that's going on that he understands in his life. He could say, I believe. He could say, I know whom I believe. Those things give him assurance. He had no doubt. Why? Because he was being fed from God by his Spirit things that he did not get otherwise in this life. Without any doubt, God would lead him. He knew when he heard from God in Holy Spirit, pen the words through him what had to be said. Paul knew without any doubt that God would lead him to a definite assurance and knowledge of God, which will lead him to an intelligent faith. People who have faith without looking to the Word of God to develop that faith are men misled, and they jump at everything that looks like faith. The Bible said faith cometh how? By hearing. And how's that? By the Word of God. It's simple, isn't it? When you get to looking at it in the facts of God's Word and the Holy Spirit helping us understand that. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, the Bible says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Renew means to make over as good, give a new life to commence again. There is a time that I thought, and I wrote this down just this week as I was working on this message, and I came back and wrote it into my message. There was a time that I enjoyed copping the devil. But now I'm in Christ. Now I belong to Him. And He won't let me enjoy copping the devil anymore. There's a battle going on. And when I begin to let the flesh just have its way and try to go, all of a sudden He'll put up a barrier. He'll send me a word. He'll give me an inspiration of what God has said. He'll speak to my heart through His Word. And then if I don't listen to that, He's capable of doing other things. I'm saying to you, the mind, what a wonderful creation when He made you and I to be able to use our mind and think like we are able to do as an image of God. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, He said, be not conformed to this world, be you transformed. The word transform means to change the appearance of, or to change into another substance. In other words, God definitely deals with the mind to make the changes that He wants to make in the flesh. Now hear me. Please hear this. God deals with the mind in the new creation to make the changes that He won't change in the flesh. But He Himself won't make the change. He wants us to analyze it and honor Him by making the change. You're here tonight. You made a decision. You honor God for being here tonight because He teaches us not to forsake ourselves from the assembly together. You had to make a decision. Amen? I guarantee you didn't just say, I'm going to put mine neutral, let it go where it wants to go. If it's that way it is, you wouldn't come to church tonight. You'd sit back and say, isn't that amazing? That television program looks pretty good tonight. Or Brother Johnny was telling about this morning seeing Saturn Venus over here. Brother Johnny, has it already gone off? I'd hope we'd get out. We're not going to get out in time to sit. Amen. I love to look at the stars. It's going to be closer to tracking and so forth tonight. He was showing this morning. And I'm trying to get out fast so I can go see that. But if we'd be here at midnight, I reckon, because I want to get out. But this is something we need to hear. It may not do nothing but just wash through our mind, but we need to hear it. Because this is who we are as far as individuals are concerned. God definitely deals with the mind to make changes. The human mind is imperfect due to the fall. Now hear this. The key to the battle fought in the mind has nothing to do with the level of spiritual maturity. You're going to have a battle whether you're material or not. The key to the battle of the mind is that you are positioned in Christ. I am positioned in Christ. That automatically started me to have this battle as I learn and grow in grace and knowledge of God's Word. I'm automatically going to have this battle. See, you've got all this baggage that you've had in the flesh for a number of years before you got saved. And now the new creation in Christ is bringing in new information. And this baggage is going to fight against this because Satan's got access to this. And he's going to fight against the new creation. So there's a constant battle going to go on. The more I grow in grace and knowledge, the more the battle's going to be there. The more the attack's going to be. Now, I can do two things. I can thank God and keep growing and plow and let God use me. Or I can say it's not worth it and just ease back and find a comfortable position and sit down and say, well, this is where I'm at. Isn't it wonderful? I don't have what I used to have. As one person said, you know, I thought I had problems when I got saved. I got more problems than ever. Now I thought, sure, I wouldn't have no problems when I got saved. That's when your problems really began. By the way, it's probably because that's when you really see what your problems are and what my problems are in life. So the human mind is imperfect due to the fall. In other words, because of the fall, powers are weak. Observation is dull. Power of reason is poor. Memory is defective. Why? Due to the fall. And then the flesh enjoys that fall so much that when you bring in the new creation and begin to counteract that, then we have a problem as far as life is concerned. The mind is the devil's working place, out of order, completely until God comes in. Satan uses negative thoughts to control your mind so he can control you. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, he cannot control us unless he controls our mind? Because in our mind is where the process takes place. So he fights hard to control us as far as life is concerned. You feel inferior and condemned and guilty and shame and depressed and unworthy and low esteem. Or maybe it off to that pride. You say, but why is it? Isn't the Lord making me feel this way because I did something? No. What happens is Satan comes to you and you feel condemned. And he'll say, you see there, if you'd listen to what I had, you wouldn't feel that condemnation. You'd just enjoy what you were doing. Or maybe someone said, well, here's something I did this and I feel so guilty about it. Satan said, see there, if you'd quit listening to all this stuff religiously, you wouldn't feel guilt. Or someone come along and say, oh, I just feel so ashamed because I did something that God said not to do. And Satan said, well, if you'd listen to me, you wouldn't feel shame because the flesh don't feel shame when you do what I say do. You see, he just comes to us and we talk in our mind. That's where these voices come. Whether you hear them or not, they're there. They're there, and Satan is behind them all. So some have a regenerated spirit, but they're not spirit controlled. The only way you'll ever be spirit controlled, because God will not deviate from his word, is through this book. What we learn from God through this book, God will operate in our lives. Now, to understand that when I say to you that you have a generated spirit, don't have a spirit controlled mind, is simply the fact that you're born in the family of God, but Hebrews 5 teaches us the babes in Christ become a milk of the word rather than meat of the word. You have to understand the natural mind, and then you have to understand the spiritual mind. Now, there's a lot of things. I'll give you some reference to the natural mind. We're going to be here a few more minutes. We'll be gone. The natural mind, what does it do? There's a number of places. Let me just give you some quick reference. Romans 1:28, he said, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. A natural mind only knows to go in reverse from God. In Romans 8:7, he talked about carnal mind being enmity with God. In Ephesians 4:17, he talked about the vanity of their minds. Colossians 2:18 talks about being puffed up in the fleshly mind. Titus 1:15 talks about mind and conscience being defiled. 1 Timothy 6:5 talks about men are corrupt minds. Colossians 1:22 talks about enemies of your mind. Philippians 3:19 talks about in your mind earthly things. That leaves God out. Romans 8:5, things of the flesh. In 2 Corinthians 3:14, minds are blinded by Satan himself. 2 Corinthians 4:4, he talks about blinded minds. And Romans 8:6 says he sums it all up. He calls it carnal mind. And the carnal mind, the end is death, because it's nothing but sin. It is death. In Matthew 15:19, it shows us quite plainly that thoughts are deeper than the intellect. For he said, out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. Mind and hearts are often used in the scripture synonymously. In other words, as Proverbs 23 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Thoughts are force power. They're forces of power in turn that causes us to act or react. They can be led to do carnality, or you can be led to do spiritual things. If you let it go by itself, only do carnal things. God has given us a power, though, in his word, that when we begin to know what God says and what the flesh does, we may blow it a few times, but God will give us power to overcome that, because greater is he in us than he that's in this world. Thoughts determine the quality of actions of our lives. The power of thoughts react upon our entire being. It reacts on our soul. It reacts on our spirit and our body. And the alignment that comes in the new birth to Christ, you've heard me talk about so many times, God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Spirit of man, soul, and the flesh. When that's that alignment, then you are being fed spiritually the Word of God, and you're making conscientious decisions in turn in this battleground that favors God more than the flesh. A mind in a fallen state belongs to the old man. God, listen to me. And this is something some people, it's hard to grasp when you first get saved. God does not remove or shut down natural God-given feelings of the flesh when you and I get saved. He does. He could, but he don't. He doesn't shut down or remove those natural God-given feelings of the flesh. What he wants us to do is to control and manage those feelings by the power we have within us. Now, the reason why, if he shut down or removed the natural God feelings of the flesh, there'd never be another child born. There'd be no desire for a man to pursue a woman, to look for a wife. There's things that God has given in arena that are beautiful in their context. But if he shut it down just because we're saved, then those things will not operate. So what does he do? He doesn't shut it down. He just gives us the ability to bring it in control in his environment rather than in time in man's environment. And that's what he's telling us to do. So when you talk about the natural mind, that comes along with just being born of the flesh because of the fall of Adam. Now we talk about the spiritual mind. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, he says, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. What is he talking about? He's referring to Christ's holy character. That what drove Christ to do what he did is to be the mind of Christ in us. What was the desire of Christ? To please the Father. Look anywhere you want to. You'll find the ultimate desire, all he did was to please the Father. That should be our desire. To please the Father. We have the mind of Christ. Simple that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, he says, we have the mind of Christ. What does that mean? That means that we have the thinking faculty of Christ. We can be imputed, or word can be imputed into our heart, or received into our heart, our mind, to understand what it is that God says for us to do or not do. This is our source, the Word of God, which is the mind of God. We have His righteousness, His holiness, His peace, His joy, even His mind is available as we read the Scriptures and feed the new creation in Christ Jesus. Spiritual warfare is raised in the mind. This is the place where thinking and reason and understanding and remembering and other things take place as far as you and I are concerned in a body of flesh. And so Paul is showing us how to use Christ's mind as God instructs him to write these things. What did Christ have in his mind? He had only one vision, to please God. He had only one theme, to please God. He only had one compassion or passion, to please God. God was his Father. That's all that really mattered. Christ is mentioned 42 times in Galatians at least, 48 in Ephesians, 40 in Philippians, 27 in Colossians. And I believe surely Paul was occupied with Christ. Amen. He was occupied with him. His life was centered around Christ. You didn't get around Paul without hearing something about Jesus Christ. That's all they story. That was his life. And that's the way it ought to be. It ought to be. God honors as we do that in life. Now, it may be that you're around some people, enjoy each other's fellowship. You know, you don't try to win people who've already won to the Lord. But there should be that desire. And then we want to be also, if you go somewhere or another, and you know, same, well, like one time we were in a business place, and we left the tract every time we went, and a person one time said, you know, preacher, I appreciate leaving tracts, believe that, but you left so many here now, it'd be nice if you just wouldn't leave them as often. I said, well, okay, that's what we'll do. And I do, don't you understand that? The same people getting them every week, I don't know what they're doing with them. Maybe they're giving them somebody else. But sometimes that happens. On the other hand, if you don't pass out tracts, then we're not going to be. We had a fellow here this morning because he got a tract, somebody eating somewhere or another got a tract. He came up and told me, showed me the tract, and said, Lethan, I visited today because of that tract. So you can't quit just because somebody said. But on the other hand, we want to have respect if someone said, you know, I've eaten this place 15 times in the last 2 weeks. Therefore, I've left the track every time. The same waiter, same people got the same track every time. Then it's obvious to understand why. I didn't get upset about that. I said, bless God, I'm doing what God said to do. No, I said, I understand what you're saying. I try to use some sense about it. Amen? Amen. I believe God honored that by doing that. The new mind. Again, your mind has to stay clean in order to make judgments about who you are, who I am. I have my mind, what I'm to do, what we're to do. We have to keep our thoughts clean. Christ was the delight of Paul's life. And for Christ to be the light of his life with the promise he had, he tried daily to keep his mind clean. Because that's how God works in an individual body. You and I can't keep thoughts from coming to our mind. I'll tell you what. You've got to learn to put it down. Paul talked about casting down imagination. Satan is a powerful being. I'm no match for him. And I'll tell you what, he can flood things when I'm asleep. My mind I have no control over. But when something's there, you've got to put it down. Cast it down in the name of Christ and get rid of that thing. Let him know you're not trying to stand up against him by yourself. You're using the power God give you. That's Jesus' name. Amen. The charismatics don't have nothing on us on that. Praise God. The new mind is so hungry and thirsting for the Word of God. But it has to be clean. The Holy Spirit feeds the new mind gently with the milk of God's Word at first. And then Paul says, in the book of Hebrews, I believe he wrote that, says he gives strong meat. Daily, our Lord becomes our life. You know why Christ is mentioned so much? Because on the day of Damascus route that Paul got struck off the horse and got saved, Christ became the center of his focus. And then, the Lord was his life. And it should be our way. The new mind will not compromise. The new mind will simply resist and refuse when you feed it. Anything's wrong, it will resist and refuse. The strong meat helps us to have better access to that. Thoughts and imaginations are dealt with on the very spot. When something comes in, it shouldn't be there. The blood of Christ is instant reply. Instant applied. Don't be afraid to do that. If something crosses your mind and something happens to you, maybe you react to it in a certain way, and suddenly in a low place something happens. It don't make it right, but something happens. Once the Holy Spirit reminds you that, instantly put it in the blood and let God take care of that and ask God to help you not let that happen again. Wrong thoughts may come, but if we refuse them, they do not lead us to sin. The new mind learns to go by the written Word of God. And you hear me say so much without being in this book, you don't stand a chance. You can't hear a man just preach and get everything you need to operate in this new mind. You can't just listen to tapes and get everything you need. You need to take what you hear and what impresses you and go home and get along with God with this book and say, now, Lord, help me understand what I've heard deeper, and let the Holy Spirit in the quietness of the hour around His Word speak to your heart. And when you do that, then you'll find things begin to become more real and what they are to you. Wrong thoughts may come, but we can refuse them. They don't have to lead us to sin. Now, the new mind learns to go by the written Word of God. Trying the spirits, lest they be deceived. And of course, 1 John tells us we should try the spirits. Now, as a child of God, then, we should be led by the Spirit. We should be spirit controlled. Feed and do man. To do that, we have to understand what the natural man is doing, and we have to understand what the spiritual mind is doing. And give me the last thought, and this is going home. Now, there are three great factors in our spiritual life. Once we trust Christ as Savior, there's three great factors in our spiritual life. As a matter of fact, these factors operate in the physical life, but we don't as notice about it as they will in the spiritual life because the battle is going on now. What are those three factors? The three factors are this. There's your intellect, there is your emotions, and there's your will. Now, here's what happens. Because these can operate both sides of the fence, it could possibly be that you have this in your mind. It could be that in your intellect you think something is right. And yet, when you look at your intellect, and then all of a sudden your emotion would say it's wrong. Now, how are you going to balance that? When your intellect says it's right, and your emotion says it's wrong. Or better still, reverse it. Your emotion says it's right, and your intellect says it's wrong. How do you settle that? By the will of the mind. You will determine. Which way? You follow what you know is wrong, or you follow what you know is right. And it could be both ways. It could be intellectually, you know something, or it could be emotional. I just feel this way. Well, you know the Bible says, I don't care what the Bible says. You know, sometimes someone talk about life, and they just say they're being sent someone. So, I talk to God about it, and it just feels so good. Anything feels that good can't be all that wrong. That's a loud pit of hell. Sin will always feel good to the flesh. It will always feel good to the flesh, no matter who we are, I myself or anyone else. Will feel good to the flesh. And we have to be on mind of that. The mind, again, is hungry and thirsting. So the emotional, the intellect, the emotion, and the will, and then the will has to make the decision. Our intelligence may be for something, for our emotions may be against it. Yet the will will take up the matter and decide what to do. You see, man's will puts the decision into action. That's the reason we're in the image of God. No animal can do that. An animal only moves by instinct. But we have the will that we can analyze and make the decision. And God says, I'll hold you responsible for that. I'll let you see both. But you will be responsible. You can't blame. Listen, we can't even blame Satan for something he calls us to do. Do you know that? So when I get to heaven, when I stand before God, when I just blame Satan, it won't work. Satan just laugh in our face. We better be sure we got the blood of Christ covering everything. And know that when we stand there in that day, we will stand there alone, tried, based on that which God has done for us. And we ain't let him do that. We end up in hell without Christ. Or when we stand before him in the works that he talks about being rewarded by, then it'll be a decision where we looked at what he said, do or not do it at all. God deals with our will. You go to Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 52, and you see Jesus talking to blind Barnabas. That's all it tells us about his name. And in that, he cries out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And they tell him to hold his peace, and he just hollers louder. And Jesus hears him, sees him, has him bring him to him. And you know what Jesus said? He said, what will thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. What is it you will that I do to thee? And when he said that, of course, he got his sight back. You see, God doesn't consult our feelings. He doesn't consult our emotions. He doesn't consult our desires in regard to this new mind. He doesn't consult our feelings or our emotions or desires when it comes to the new mind. What he does, he deals with us in our will. Do you will to have the new mind of Christ? You can be born into the family of God, but it won't happen automatically. If a child of God hears the gospel and trusts Christ as Savior and never opened this book to read what God says to the new creation, they will never have what they could have, capable of having, in the mind of Christ. Because here's where you can get it. I don't decide what that is. I have to read what God says it is and see what Christ did. The universe does not revolve around man. It revolves around God. God's purpose and will is supreme. God's thoughts and purposes are expressed in this word, which he calls his word. Emerson said years ago, and I don't care much for him, but he said, the ancestor of every action is a thought. And I say, may God help us to keep our minds renewed, keep our minds garrisoned, keep our minds sober by God's word, and understand that the written word reveals the living word. And realize that Isaiah tells us in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Ladies and gentlemen, let me encourage you to realize your mind is you. My mind is the real me. The total sum person. It's who you are. The very core of the individual. Your mind is your inner self. It's the heart. Sometimes these are used synonymous when it comes to understanding the center of us. And I say to you this last thought. God has freed us from a mind that's fed by the five senses through the three gates that John tells us about. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. God has freed us in his Son from the mind that's fed by the five senses and has given us a new mind fed by God's Spirit and his Word. And without his word, even after we're saved, there's no way that we can counteract where the flesh leads us. This flesh will rise up anytime, any place, anywhere, even though you're not saved. We're no match for it. And we can feed the new creation in Christ Jesus and have victory over it, but even that won't keep it down. Studying this book, don't put a lid on it so it doesn't rise up. Studying this book helps us to put it down, cast it down. The mind, but we're wonderful and fearfully made. And so God will let us have the intellect, the emotion, but he's given us a will. Makes us different than any other animal that he's ever created. Similar to the angels, but yet angels are not flesh and blood like we are. We have one who God has made in his image, that he's remade in Christ. And he teaches us simply to do this. He says, don't be conformed to this world. It's wonderful. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect, perfect, complete will of God. My Father, I want to thank you for the study of this, Lord. I needed this, Lord, more than probably anyone else. And I thank you so much in studying about the mind. There could be a number of series of messages on this, but I hope this one in itself will be that which will get us thinking and realize how powerful we are when it comes to us as individuals. What we can make decisions about, inspired by God's Holy Spirit. Lord, being saved don't automatically make us the Christian we ought to be. Now, you made us in your sight with your righteousness that we can go to heaven one day. We can stand in your presence in that new creation. But you're not taking us out of this body of flesh yet. This body of flesh is still capable of doing anything after we're saved that it did before we're saved, unless we understand the battle that's going on. And trust you, we have power to overcome. Yes, there's some dark places along the way. Yes, against the white cloth, which is in Christ Jesus, and the purity that's there, there's some black spots along the way because we've not arrived as yet. But Lord, we still have the power to keep working on this flesh because you're not through with us yet. And we thank you for that. You don't cast us aside just because we fail along the way. Thank God you still love us and you care for us. And you're working your word in our hearts as we submit to you. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray.